Hey everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Man, it's good to see you.
Man, it's been too long.
I know. Schedule just got crazy the last several weeks.
Seriously, I've been traveling, you've been traveling. Well, yeah. You're leaving today to go somewhere.
Well, that's probably been pushed off till tomorrow.
Okay.
Because of, you know, some more scheduling conflicts.
Who's going to be at the meeting tomorrow?
Dynamite and Possum.
Okay.
And a couple
other people.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah. So Dynamite and Possum's taking care of it.
Sounds good. Yep. All right, so we're going to continue talking about parables.
Right? Yeah.
We've done four.
Yeah.
And so today we're going to do one that I think everybody probably knows, should know.
Should. Right?
I think I've done a full 30-minute podcast about it.
There are so many different ways to go about this.
Absolutely.
With this one.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just amazing.
So we're going to do the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it.
We'll read the scripture first?
Yeah, we'll read the scripture first. So yeah. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 25. And again, I'm reading from the Extra Special Version.
ESV.
Starting in verse 25, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and on your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I love this. Mm-hmm. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by a chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise."
So when we think about that, I mean, there's a lot to unpack.
There's a whole lot to unpack.
Right? You know, I mean, we start with Jesus saying, or somebody asking the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do I got to do?
Right.
Right. What do I got to do?
Right. Now, let's put this kind of into context here. Right? So he's talking to Pharisees.
Yep. Right?
Pharisee asking.
Yep.
So he's obviously talking to a Jewish audience.
Absolutely.
Right. And so he talks about a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, obviously a Jew going down the road.
Yeah.
Right. So this guy, being a Jew, a priest and a Levite, ignore him.
Yeah.
Snub him.
And they're the people who shouldn't.
Shouldn't. Right.
Right. Because, you know, it's a Jewish priest that's walking by him.
Right.
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 And should say, "Oh, there's one of my fellow Jewish people
right.
who needs help.
One of my brothers that needs help." Right.
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 That I collect taxes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings a temple tax to me.
That's right.
Yeah, and then the Levite.
Right on by.
Yeah, who's like what we know of today is a modern-day worship leader.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he's taking care of the temple and you know, making sure that everything is in place and, you know, should be a high, good, upstanding citizen.
Should be.
Should be.
He's like, "Oh, hard pass."
Yeah, going on.
I got time for you.
That's right. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah. You know, so he goes on the other side of the road.
And then a Samaritan.
The hero of the story is a half-breed.
That nobody likes.
Nobody likes. Nobody from the Jewish side That's or right. the Gentiles.
That's right. Nobody.
Because like, he's a half-breed.
They're outcasts, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Comes by, and here's the cool thing about this. The scripture says he had compassion on him. When he looked on him, he had compassion.
Yeah.
And the key ingredient to grace... Mm-hmm. The key ingredient to grace is compassion.
Absolutely.
You know, we see it in this story. We see it in the story of our lives that God has compassion on us to show us grace and to extend grace to us.
Yeah. You know, the part of this story, and it's down here a little ways, right? But the part of this story I really like is he gives 2 denarii right, mm-hmm. to the innkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I got a bone out. I got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll reimburse you for any other expense.
For whatever cost, I'll pay you back.
Yeah. And so when I read that, I think about this probably isn't the first time because the innkeeper trusted him. This is a Sumerian.
True.
Right?
True.
This is a half-breed. This innkeeper right. was probably Jewish.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he had no reason to trust a Sumerian.
Right. You're right. No. He didn't. He obviously didn't.
Right? I think it's something that's overlooked. You know, when you think of the story, because clearly he had built trust enough that he had been to this innkeeper's enough.
So they could draw some credit.
That's right.
Yeah. I never, you know what? That's the first time I'd ever thought about that. That's since you pointed it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to really think about that.
Yeah.
Because yeah, they really, were half-breeds.
Yeah. Yeah. They were part Jew and part Gentile.
Yeah.
You know, and so neither side of the family liked them.
That's right. That's right. He's like, I need credit. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah. I never, since you've pointed that out, you know, I'm probably going to build a sermon out of it. there's going to be a sermon in that.
Right. Show. Because what, you know, I know that in this, Jesus is telling us just to help people, right?
Right.
Show compassion.
Right.
Show mercy. Show love.
Right.
Right. What's the word? Hesed, right? Is that the Greek word that talks about love and loyalty and a bunch of things?
Is it hesed?
I could be wrong.
Maybe you're not, though. Maybe you're yeah, not. Maybe not. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But he showed – so Jesus is teaching us, right? Show compassion for people.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't matter what your standing is
exactly.
or the standing of the person that's going to help you.
Right. Right.
Right. You can get help from places that you don't expect.
Exactly.
Right?
And sometimes at the most unexpected time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so in this story, and I realize it's a parable of Jesus and it's not an actuality. It's, you know, I mean, it could have been.
It could have happened easily, right?
Could have. But in the story, you know, he's just going down the road.
Yeah.
And I've been told, and I haven't actually witnessed this because I've never been there, but that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was known as a treacherous road.
Mm. Yeah, I've read that before.
It's not like what we know of as roads, you know? It's not like how we picture it's literally a goat path, you know, it's a pathway that
a road that'll fit a cart.
Right.
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 Not even a wagon, right? It's just, sure, just it's a cart because in those days they were carts, right?
People right.
pull their carts or an ox would pull a cart. Right.
Right. And it's just like a little single buggy, yeah. you know, type yeah. thing. And the road was known to have robbers and thieves. Yeah. And I like to picture this story is because they're beating him and left him for dead.
Yeah.
You know, and so in my mind, and if this is a sin, let me know. I kind of add that, you know, laying in a pool of his own blood.
Well, he could have been.
Well, it most likely was.
Yes. Yeah.
In the context of the parable that Jesus is talking
That's
about.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And so his helplessness is obviously, did you fix that?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So his helplessness is obviously in the forefront.
That's right.
You know, it's obviously something that is it's a physical affliction at this point.
That's right.
You know, and two guys of prominence, two guys that should have been
walked by.
Yeah, that should have been given care and get you know and here's a guy that comes up on it that. You know, he's been cussed at.
Yeah.
You know, he's been ridiculed.
Yeah.
He's been passed by for a promotion at work.
Whatever it might be.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, because he's just not the guy.
You know, the other thing, it's interesting because you started talking about the path. And it says they crossed the street and went around him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that wide.
Mm-mm.
So even though they may have crossed on the other side, like they're me to you away.
Probably.
right?
Yeah.
Like they, like he could have been like, please help me.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't even acknowledge it.
And probably didn't even look at him.
Right. I like to believe they did and just walked by. Because maybe, in life today, I think far too often people look at somebody that needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, whatever.
And the problem with that is, let me back up a little bit and ask this. Is that because of pride? Mm. Is it because of fear?
So I don't know.
Or selfishness?
Here's how I used to feel. And I don't really feel that way anymore. I used to see the guys on the street corners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have the Constitution paper or whatever it was. Right. They're asking for money. And for years, before I came to BC, right? Before Christ.
Yeah,
right?
BC is always a turning point.
Right. BC, I'd be like, I ain't giving them no money.
Right.
I ain't helping them.
Right.
They're scammers. They're getting in their Mercedes and driving home.
Right.
And while there are people that do that.
There are.
Right.
There are.
You know, and that was BC, but now I see them, and I really see them.
Uh huh.
Right, we've talked about a guy that you used to see all the time.
Yeah, Don Nash. Yeah,
and I had a guy that I used to see all the time. Yeah. You know, when I'd get off Murfreesboro Road and you know was going downtown to Asurion, but I see who they are, and I have to. What do you want?
Right.
Right.
How can I help you?
Now, I may not give them cash. I may have a hygiene kit or I may have a gift card to Chick-fil-A. Right.
McDonald's or something. Yeah.
Right. Where they have to eat.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I give them cash, I don't know what they're going to spend it on. And that sucks. But a lot of them have drinking problems.
A lot.
Right. And it's an addiction. It's not.
It is.
It's not. You know, it's a disease.
It is.
And I don't want to encourage that disease.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'll give him a gift card.
Right.
Right. Or I may give him $5 and a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I carry little Bibles with me.
Right.
But BC, I would have been these guys walking by.
Exactly.
Not helping.
I have been in the same situation.
Yeah.
You know, where I have, you know, walked right on by, you know, passed right on by, and, you know, and if I was in the mood, you know, give him a little courtesy wave and just keep on rolling.
That's right. That's right.
You know, but. Even if I'm not in a position either because of traffic movement or financially at the time or my, you know, I just don't have anything with me at the time. I still, and I'm not patting myself on the back here. Okay. But I still pray for that particular person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were, I'm not going to – let me gloss this as best I can. There was a crew that I interacted with quite a bit in where I would be traveling to.
Yep.
That were known scammers. I mean, they were known, you know. And they would do everything in their power to make you feel sorry enough for them. To do, I mean, you know, sitting out there, it's 100 degrees outside, and they got a little 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the median, you know.
Yeah.
And it pulls on your heartstrings that they would stoop that low, you know. But even in that situation, even in that scenario where I didn't physically give to them because I knew what was going on, there was still a prayer that was being said for them by me that, you know, Lord, just show them your way. Show them the way.
You know, I want to. I'm going to tell a little story. It's going to take a minute, but it's kind of about doing the right thing, right? Having compassion and mercy. And, and that's what we're talking about with this. And I'm going to pull up my little Facebook Messenger here. I think it was like 6 years ago, Linda and I went to Belize.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were there on vacation. And we were in this little town called Hopkins. And this kid, probably, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was 12. Had went into the store, to the restaurant, and asked the manager if there was any work he could do to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I didn't really hear the story.
Mm-hmm.
But the manager said, I don't have any work, but you can ask some of the guests. if they need any work. And so he came out, and we were the only ones sitting outside. And he came out and he said, I'm trying to earn money to buy uniforms for my soccer team.
Oh, wow.
And he proceeds to tell us this story. And I, you know, you can believe it or you not believe it, right?
Right.
He says, you know, we had uniforms. We were cleaning up the field and we had all the garbage picked up and somebody picked up all the garbage bags and threw them away.
Yeah, threw them away.
But our uniforms was in one of the bags. We went and searched. We couldn't find it, right? And so I ask him, well, how much are new uniforms? Now, we're on vacation. For uniforms for the whole team, it's like $75.
Seriously?
Yeah. Cheap. So I gave him $100.
Yeah.
I'm like, just go buy uniforms. Now, a lot of people I've told that story to have said, you got took for $100.
And?
Wednesday. What's today? Friday?
Today's Friday.
Wednesday, I get this message from somebody on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
It says, my name is Nigel. We met in Hopkins and you supported me.
No.
Seriously. 2 days ago. He says, thank you for your kindness because of it, I became the most valuable youth striker in the South and won the Golden Boots Award.
Yeah.
He said, I kept on working harder and harder and became more and more focused and determined. He sent me all these pictures of him playing.
Wow.
Right? You can probably see him if you're watching on YouTube. He says, and he sent me videos of him playing, and he says, thank you so much. I've always tried reaching out to you. He said, when you helped me back then, we got the jerseys, but I wasn't all technical with Facebook. I had no device to be able to get in touch with you. But since I got older, I started making my own money. I understand, sir, you played a huge role in my life. You're the first person who believed in me when no one else did.
Wow.
Not even my own family, but you did, and it made me into the man I am today.
How did he find you?
I gave him my name when we were there.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I was like, hey, you know. And so he said, if you ever come back, if you get a chance to come to Belize again, I would love to invite you to a game.
Oh, my goodness.
2 days ago. So we're talking about, you know,
6 years.
Compassion, mercy, just showing somebody love.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
I didn't even think about saying anything until you just said this, but... You know, that's what the story is about.
Yeah,
that's what the Good Samaritan is about.
Yeah. And funny you said that because that you told the story several years ago. And I don't have folks, believe me, I have nothing that compares to that because that's fantastic.
That's God.
That is God.
That he found me?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
That we're talking about the Good Samaritan and that was 2 days ago. It's
yeah.
God. It's all God.
It's all God. So my story has nothing to do with helping somebody like that. So I was teaching, we were in a Bible study several years ago. And it was in a glass shop, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were in the glass shop having this Bible study, and somebody asked me, why is it that if I'm pulling up at a street corner and I give someone $20, that I get angry if I think that they are going to go spend that on alcohol?
Mm.
And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, number one, did you feel God's leading to give that $20 to that person? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
At that point, to direct them, if they take the leading of the Holy Spirit, to either use that money for what they told you they were going to use it for, or to go buy a bottle.
Yeah.
Or a 8-ball, or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever. And so I said, once you do the deed, once you give the money, it's out of your hands.
That's right.
Money's not yours anymore, first of all.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it was never yours to begin with.
Exactly. But,
so let's start there.
But the provision so what I'm saying is, and what I was telling this person is the gift that you gave them, what they do with the gift is up to them.
That's right.
And the Good Samaritan reference that we're talking about here, you know, showing somebody compassion that way. And the story doesn't go on to give specifics as far as the guy was in that inn for eight more days.
Right.
You know, it doesn't tell that. It doesn't tell what the guy did later to either, you know, find the Samaritan 6 years later on Facebook. Or, you know, it doesn't say any of that.
And it doesn't because it's not relevant.
It's not. What's relevant is the gift.
That's right. And, you know, I never thought twice about it, you know, when it first happened. You know, I think we told somebody about it at the resort, and they're like,
You got took,
yeah. You idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, look, God said do it. And we did. And what's $75 to me? I mean, we gave him $100, but we're on vacation.
Yeah.
Right? That $100, like,
you're going to blow that on a meal anyway.
You know, the people who were telling me not to do it were smoking five pack a day cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
$5 a day cigarette habit or.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on. You know, you spend $300 a month on cigarettes.
$100. That's 100 four bucks. Cigars.
Seriously.
In Belize, yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. And I know the story doesn't tell us what happened, but I like to believe.
Yeah.
That, you know, this guy just had an amazing life after because that Samaritan.
Because of the Samaritan.
Took care of him. He didn't die.
Right.
He lived.
He did. He lived. You know? He lived to walk that path again.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, if something like that has ever happened to you, because it's happened to me, you know, where somebody reached out that hand of compassion and I am 10 times more apt to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because of somebody that's helped me before.
Absolutely. I think we forget that, right?
We do.
When we don't want to help somebody or we feel that nudge to help and we're like, I'm not doing it this time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think the times that you feel that way is it's like you have $5 in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the only $5 you got.
Yeah. And you got to go to get a Wendy's Big Meal.
That's right. And, God's like,
yeah.
You don't really need to eat today.
Yeah, somebody else needs to eat.
You had breakfast. This guy hasn't eaten 2 days.
Right.
Give him that $5.
Speaking of that, this is a true story. I used to work downtown Nashville, and I don't anymore, praise God. But we were working on West End and went to Wendy's right there off of campus.
Yep.
And this guy, you know, comes in. He's giving a hard luck story, you know, and he's literally trying to, you know, he just wants some money to eat, he says.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have any cash at all. You know, I was paying with a debit card. Guy I was with had like $3 extra, you know. And he said, well, here's $3. You know, get something off the value meal. And we got our meal to go and left. We literally drive around the building and see this dude walking out of the building and going down the street trying to hit somebody else up.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, man, pull over. We pull over and he gets out of the vehicle and walks up and goes, I thought you were going to get something to eat. And he goes, did you give me money? And he didn't even recognize him. You know, he's like, why, did you give me money or something? And he goes, man, give me my $3 back. He made him give the $3 back because he wasn't doing what he said he was going to do.
The unfortunate thing is that happens a lot.
It does.
Right.
It does. But the other unfortunate thing about that was giving the money to somebody who says they're in need. And it's like I was saying a while ago, you give the gift.
That's right.
And don't expect any.
Yeah, you should have never stopped, right? You gave it away.
Yeah.
Right? He should have never stopped.
Right.
Right. You know, I think about we were in, you know, I worked downtown Nashville too. I don't anymore. Praise God.
Yeah.
Just like you, right?
Man, praise the Lord.
We were going somewhere up by the Capitol, mm-hmm. right? And
James Robinson Parkway.
Yeah. There's somebody outside the road. It's starting to rain.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's got a sign up, starting to rain. And Linda rolls the window down and she says, look, sir, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, but I have ponchos. Because Linda keeps ponchos and little hand warmers,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just stuff to hygiene packs, right. just right. like we all do, yeah. right? So she's like, I got a poncho. At least you'll be dry.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't want that. I want money.
Nope.
Roll the window back up. Like,
well, I'm gone, buddy.
Right?
yeah.
You know, and so I think we have to try to one, we got to show love for everybody. So what I want to say to people is I encourage you to continue making that attempt even when you run into people like that, right? Don't let that one interaction force you into not showing the love of God to people.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse for you if you harden your heart, right, and stop showing love. Don't let the one take away from the many who need it.
Yeah.
And if you have the means to help, do it.
Have you ever heard the story of Bobby Joe Reed?
No.
When you get a chance, and there is it's on Amazon Prime, something Bobby Joe, I don't remember now what the name of it. I just watched it last night. It's bad. I don't even remember the name.
Okay.
Bobby Joe Reed. She's from Kansas City.
Okay.
Both sides of the river. Okay. This woman, was, one of three children. She's the youngest of three kids. Ended up making some choices in her life that at the age of 12 was addicted to alcohol and drugs.
Okay.
Okay. She stayed in that addiction until she was 34.
Mm.
But since she's 34, from the age of 34 till today, and she was born in like 61.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was like 93, 94, somewhere around in there. I can't remember the exact date. She got clean and sober. She gave her life to the Lord wholly, completely. Not just Jesus as a Savior, but Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Yeah. We should talk about that someday because I think a lot of people say, well, Jesus is my Savior, but is
not
he
my
Lord?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a whole different topic.
That's a whole different topic. But anyway, Bobby Joe, figured out, and she went to this place called the Recovery House in Kansas City, Kansas. And she said there was no hygiene. There was no, he said there were 30 people on 10 beds. Mm. And so it's just, you know, so when she got out of the program and you know, was staying sober, she could bake. You know, she could cook really well. So she would go make like muffins and cookies and things like that and take it to a flea market and sell it and take the money that she got at the flea market and go buy the little travel packs of like toothpaste.
Oh, yeah.
And deodorant.
Yeah, yeah.
And shampoo and
little
body washes.
Hygiene kits.
Hygiene kits, right?
Yeah.
And she started taking that to this recovery house.
Hmm.
Or the recovery center. And then, you know, that went to... Well, she would bake extra to sell at the flea market and then take it into the recovery house, recovery center, you know, to kind of give them some food to eat at the same time.
Right, right.
It has gone from baking things to sell at the flea market to help people with hygiene to 7,000 people have come through 14 homes that she owns, recovery homes, where 20 to 25, 30 people live in these homes.
Wow.
And 20 apartment complexes.
Mm.
I'm sorry, 20 apartments in a complex.
In a complex, yeah.
Right.
Mm.
That she said, and listening to her testimony, she said, I thought God wanted me to help like 10 women live a clean and sober life. And it's turned into having 7,000 children that call me mom now.
Wow.
And she doesn't have any children of her own.
Wow.
You know?
I don't have to go watch that. But
that's the Good Samaritan thing.
That's the Good Samaritan.
That's the whole thing. You know? She
didn't walk by.
No, she didn't
walk by. Snub them. She didn't turn her nose up. She didn't hide her face. Like, I could see him walking by like, I don't want to see this.
Right.
Right?
And they were interviewing people that live in their homes, you know, in Hope Center home, or I forgot now, it was a Hope Center recovery. Anyway, whatever the name of her ministry is, that they were interviewing them, and the thing that they kept saying over and over and over again was, we were welcome here.
Mm.
And the first thing they would say after the intake interview is, welcome home.
Yeah.
You know, and because people have been out homeless on the street.
Yeah.
And they said, the love that we were shown from the first time that we met,
yeah,
until now, has been amazing. There's a lady that came into her program in the first house that she had. I think she was the first or second resident that in the first, and they call it the pink house. And it's got a pink Eve on it now. It used to be pink, but anyway, all it has now that's pink is an Eve.
Yeah.
This woman was, I think, the second resident, has been with her ever since, and now she's her right hand, right hand woman.
Yeah.
And they work this ministry together, and everybody says Bobby Joe and Mama Judy.
Yeah, well, praise
have,
God for
have
them.
Love, you know, for all of these people that have come through all these years, you know, and I'm thinking that's the Good Samaritan story.
Yeah.
In the flesh.
That's Jesus saying, go and do
exactly.
likewise.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Go and do the same thing.
Go and do the exact same thing.
Right? So somebody did that for Bobby Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Go do the same
thing. Go do the same thing. And she kept saying, it felt good to do the next right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because she knew she was fulfilling what God told her to do.
Yeah.
You know, she knew that she was doing what the Holy Spirit was leading her to do.
Yeah.
You know, and they have in-house pastors and they have, you know, such a great bond with the residents in their homes. You know, they have family housing, you know, for parents who have succumbed to addiction and rebuilding their family so their kids can come live with them and walk through recovery with them.
Yeah. So as we try to land it, right?
Okay.
I would say, and then I want your opinion, right? So I would say from when we look at the Good Samaritan, right? Everybody in their life has had somebody do something for them that made them feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so if you're listening to this, think about a time in your life when you felt love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what this is about.
Right.
That time that you felt love, it made you happy. It made you feel whole. Mm-hmm. It made you feel warm mm-hmm. and welcome. And
complete.
Complete and home.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to do that exactly. for everybody else.
Yep.
Right? That's what I would say. If I could tell you, what do you take away from the Good Samaritan? Remember a time you felt love.
Mm. Yeah. I like that. And something else to take away from the Good Samaritan is always keep your eyes open.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know what, you know.
You never know how you can help or who you can help.
Yeah.
You know, just look for the opportunities.
Yeah.
Opportunities. I'll get it out in a minute. Opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all there. I mean, when I showed Linda the Facebook Messenger and she was like,
praise That's God. Fantastic.
Praise God, right?
Yeah. Can I use that story?
Absolutely.
Oh, great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like 6 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's one of those times where you just, you know, you kept your eyes open and your heart open.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think part of it was I heard him go in and ask, what can I do for work to earn money?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like this kid just came up and asked for money.
Right.
I knew he was trying to work.
Yeah, there was something there that was legit. And
honest. When he came to me, he was like, I know you're here on vacation, but is there anything I can do mm-hmm. to earn money?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what are you trying to do? What do you know? What do you need money?
Right.
And I'll
what
tell you,
resources?
If you, I know we're trying to end this, but like when we were in Belize, you know, a lot of the houses there are dirt floors.
Yeah.
Right? But all the kids, when we would watch them go to school, pressed white shirts. They were all uniformed, right?
Wow.
Beautifully clean. Like, shirts whiter than I could probably get it clean.
Wow.
You know? And these just elementary school kids going to school.
Taking pride in what
they have. Taking pride in everything that they have. Sweeping the dirt floor to get the big dirt off the little dirt.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm, praise God.
Praise God. Wow.
Well, everybody, this is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. We want to remind you that we're on every podcast platform of choice.
Yeah.
Subscribe, give us a like, share it with your friends. Go check us out on YouTube. And remember to love God.
And love people.